Hi everyone and welcome to the FinTech Germany Award podcast enabled by Financial Times. I am Alexandra, your host today, and we will provide you with insights on the awards, our participating startups, and latest trends in the industry. I'm recording today remotely with Stephen Voss, Managing Director for Sales and Marketing and one of the founders of Neo Digital Insurance. Stephen, welcome to our podcast.
Yes, thank you for having me. That's a great pleasure.
We are also so happy that now we are also starting with our startups that have won the awards. And you're now the first one to be guest in our podcast. And we would, of course, love to get to know you better. So please introduce yourself and the company and what our listeners need to know.
Oh, great. Thank you very much also for giving me the chance to talk about the company. But let's talk about myself first. So my name is Steven, I'm half German and half British. So actually, my first name is really pronounced Steven. Mm-hmm. I was born in the 70s in Windsor, not in Windsor Castle, but close to the castle.
Okay, interesting.
But I'm in no way relative to the King or the Queen of England, unfortunately.
Sometimes that's even better.
Yeah, I can still go to the supermarket without being noticed.
True.
And that's a good thing. And yeah, there are not too many things to talk about me. I basically studied economics with an emphasis on insurances in Mannheim. I've been in a couple of major companies in the insurance industry. So people might know Allianz, they might know Zurich Insurance, some know AIG, and that's the background. And today, since 7 years, I'm co-founder and director for sales and marketing for Neo Digital, which is an insurtech, a licensed insurtech with insurance license. That's very important to know because we are not just an MGA or a third-party administrator. We are a real insurance company like Zurich, like Allianz, like AXA.
So you have really high standards in terms of what you are allowed to do, how you need to handle the money of your insured people.
Yeah, exactly. Regulated means that you have to follow a lot of rules. You're liable towards your customers. And it brings a lot of rules with it because it's a big burden. I mean, if somebody gets hurt in accident insurance or something happens to a third person in liability insurance, I mean, we are there to pay for what needs to be paid. And the regulator makes sure that we pay it. So I always stress this out because this makes it a much more complicated than just being a German GmbH. We are basically on stocks. We are Aktiengesellschaft. And that means obviously a lot of other things that you need to look out. And as you said, there are so many rules that we need to follow. We specialize in the area of personal insurance, so private clients, and what we call PNC insurance. So it's basically your household, your liability insurance, dog insurance. We do motor insurance as well, so your car, etc. Everything that is non-life or non-health. We are not a life insurer and we are not a health insurer.
So yeah, this is really interesting because it's one of the first insurances your parents tell you that you need to do once you move out of your home for liability. In German, it's called the Haftpflichtversicherung.
Absolutely.
There are so many horror stories that people tell you, and I'm super curious later to hear about how you market the insurances because the many people know the term the German Angst, and the Germans are very famous for being insured for like everything. And from my experience, I know that these ones are making you sleep very good because I'm a horse owner as well. And of course, I have insurances for any possibility that could go wrong there.
Yeah, this and the horses can become very expensive. I know that. that's fine. Yeah, but if I can elaborate later on the different products, but especially just because you made the point that the liability insurance or the Haftpflichtversicherung, which is a bit misleading because you don't have to have a Haftpflicht or liability insurance in Germany.
I know.
it's your duty to have one, but actually, that is one of the few insurances I absolutely recommend, because this is not about yourself. It is about you doing harm to other people or to other people's property. And now imagine you just do a mistake. You just slip out and you bump into somebody, and that somebody falls down severely, has to go to hospital and will be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. You are liable and you will have to pay. And this could be at an early stage, if you are in your early 20s, that could be the end of your financial life. And this is why I personally believe it should be a duty to have one. It should be Pflicht. But it's not, but it's really one of the core products. Or even if you are, you know, if you're going out, usually if you're starting to study at a university or you're doing your first job, it is really, really, really good. And the good news is it's not that expensive anymore.
That's exactly the thing that I wanted to point out as well, because it's just a few euros. And then you have mitigated your problems that might arise from, as you just said it, you just need to be in an unlucky situation, stumbling somewhere, doing harm to someone else. Or if the example with the horse or the dog, I mean, these are animals, if they just get away, run to the street or the highway, and then they produce an accident on the highway, and you don't know what is in the accident. It could be people, it could be big transportation things with expensive goods and all these kinds of things. You could pollute the environment because of these accidents. So
I'm smiling because I had this worst case scenario in my mind. If you have a dog and he runs off your leash and he runs to the motorway, and on the motorway currently is an atomic castor transportation.
Okay.
I know this is a very unlikely event, but it is a likely event that a dog or even a horse, you know, breaks loose. Mm-hmm. And then something really severe happens. And this is why I'm saying it should be essential, because it gives you peace of mind and it protects yourself from unwanted issues that you have, which you can't control. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so good. And nowadays, now with the digitization, with the easy access to the products, the way you can start the product, the way you can even stop the product within a day, so within seconds, basically, it's so much more convenient, and everybody can afford it, really everybody.
I think there's also a lot of statistics and math behind that, because you need to calculate all the risks and how they might occur. And I mean, there is just one case that could happen and you need to pay so much money out to the customer. How do you insure yourself too? Is there something you do as a company as well to also mitigate these risks, or how does that work?
Yes,
because I always wondered, how does an insurance pay then for these kinds of things? Because the premium, of course, in especially this one insurance product, would never be able to pay for whatever.
First of all, it's the model of big numbers. So it's economics of big numbers. And the definition of insurance is this is the regulation of the risk via the collective. So the number of insured people plus over time. Mm-hmm. So basically you have one risk, but you basically bend it over a long period of time and over numerous insured people. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if you're a young company.
And that's exactly the point where I wanted to get to.
that's the problem at an early stage. If you're a young company, And that's the problem. We call it the one in 100 years event or the one in 1,000 years event.
The black swans.
Yeah, exactly. The black swans. The one in 1,000 years event could happen in the first year. And then it won't happen for the next 1,000 years. But the problem is, it could happen in the first year. And therefore, what you need as a young insurer or even established insurers, probably not to the extent, is an aggregator that aggregates risks from various insurance companies on a higher aggregated level. And this is what we call the reinsurance company. Mm-hmm. So you have the companies like Munich Re, Swiss Re, Hanover Re, America Re. These are in reinsurance companies. And what they do, they pool risks from different first line insurers, first level insurers, and they pool it. And so you have an aggregate and you can mitigate that risk over various companies. And this is how we actually can operate, because if you are like we are not founded by a big super group. So we are founded by individuals, by a team, not having the funding of an industry. We're not funded by Allianz or AXA. So we are self-funded. You don't have 50 million euros for the first year. Just to pay out claims. You see that? And this is why you need reinsurance. And this is how you have to cleverly work out your reinsurance contract and your plan in order to protect your balance sheet. It's all about protection of your balance sheet, because in the first year, you can't take a 10 million liability claim out of a huge accident.
And with regards to the founding, I mean, there are so many big insurance companies, so many well-known established brands. Why did you start this insurance company? And what do you do better than the others? Because you need to do something better, at least, because otherwise you would not be in the FinTech Awards as well. So yeah. I'm curious to hear about that.
Well, we are still here after 7 years and have over 500,000 customers. So we must have done something right. But this is the question. Why the heck did you start an insurance where there are over 500 insurance companies in the German market, especially in our peer group in the property and casualty area, P&C, personal lines? There are more than 200 companies. And as I said before in the introduction, we are not a team of youngsters, you know, coming off university trying to play insurance. So we all have been in insurance companies before.
So there must have been something where you thought, okay, this could be better.
Exactly. And it is, surprise, surprise, is automation and digitization.
One of the strengths in Germany.
Yeah, the niche is so obvious. I mean, when we formulated the vision about the company, this was 2016, 2017. That was before Corona, and then it was before a big boost. But it was so obvious that end-to-end communication, real-time processing, this was all talks of the future. It didn't happen in the insurance companies. Why? Because their back-end systems, their computer systems, they were made in the late 90s and the early 2000s. And they were never made for huge data. I mean, the whole data thing only started in 2007. Remember, the first iPhone came to the market in Germany. That's 2007. That's not far away.
I grew up without mobile phones, and I got my first one this big, it was not a Nokia, the tiny small one. I had one of these bigger Motorola versions that you could not even flip. So that was my first mobile and my first smartphone I got when I was already at university, when I was 22.
see. I mean, and this is something, and this is a good example. Actually, the same happened to the major insurance companies. Mm-hmm. It wasn't seen a necessity because there wasn't a market. But then 2006, 2007, the first smartphones arrived, and suddenly we were able to gather data. But there was no API, there was no connection to use the data. And this is still something that still lacks today in the major companies. They are currently rebuilding all their systems, but it takes a long time. And this is the second advantage. First of all, NeoDigital as a company was built on a green field scenario, completely digital, with an emphasis not on the sales end, because this is what most people do or most companies do. Oh, let's do a fancy app and we, you know, get so many customers because we have such a great sales engine. No, we started from product, process and handling. Mm-hmm. Fully digital. And then your application, your communication to the customer follows the digital end-to-end processing rules of your backend. And this is unique. This was not done before, because before they started with the product first, then they figured out how they're going to sell the product, and then they went to the poor people in the IT department and said, okay, we have this great product and we have this great sales story, and now could you fiddle that in into your system? And
then we're going on the Oracle 5 database.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'd go, what? and this is what we do different. And what differentiates us from those companies that started with us is we never went out and said, we are the best people in the world and our approach is disruptive. You remember that word. Everything had to be disruptive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's bullshit. It just needs to be better and faster. It doesn't have to be disruptive.
Yeah.
Evolution is good. Not revolution. Evolution is good.
Yes, it's the tiny steps. If you run a marathon, it starts with the first one and afterwards you have like 50,000 steps. And what you say, it's just so, I can really feel that because, I lived in Germany until November last year. And I did not think that things were so bad until I saw how digital everything in Switzerland is. I just talked to someone last week where we were talking about some smaller things like, I have not paid something in cash since November. I did not go to a bank and pulled out a Swiss franc out of the cash machine since November.
You don't need it.
In Germany, one of the last situations I got into with not having cash was I needed to get to strangers in the parking space to ask them, hey, can you lend me €1 or donate me because I cannot give it back to you. Because I have no card at the moment to withdraw any cash. Super embarrassing, but...
This goes through all of the industries in the German market, but it is also, it's kind of a symbol. Mm-hmm. And take a look, you said Switzerland, you can also take a look at the UK. I've been to the UK in March. I brought money with me. I've never used cash. I didn't have to use cash. I even went into a small off-licensed supermarket 2 o'clock at night after the party, just getting a Coke. And I thought, oh, I have to give them cash. And he said, no, I don't want cash.
Because cash is expensive to maintain. You need to insure cash.
Yes.
You need to get it from A to B. And
it's not safe.
No,
at
it's two not.
2 o'clock at night, the guy doesn't want £1,000 in his cash drawer.
No, and this is the same because I work now for a FINMA regulated crypto institute in Switzerland, and I hear so many people still say, okay, but the crypto, it opens the doors for money laundering. But let's face it, the cash situation in Germany is one of the best ones for anti-money laundering, but we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we're getting away from it, but I can fully agree.
But in terms of the insurance,
yeah.
If we talk about the German angst, maybe,
yeah.
What is the main German angst for the people? So why do they do insurances? What is your best-selling product, maybe? And how do you approach the customers? What's the story that makes the customers choose you?
Yeah. So let's start with what's the best-selling product at the moment. The best-selling product are the liability products, because as you said in the introduction, it's one of the things people buy first. So it's kind of an introductory product. And of course, and this is no surprise, in Germany, car insurance is very, very famous because
okay,
we are
true.
All in love with our cars. And I have an opinion on that this love will change over time because mm-hmm. currently it's still owning a car. We are slightly changing into using cars
mm-hmm.
and going from car to mobility. So this will change. But starting where we are, liability are the most prominent products. And the story behind our products is basically value for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of our processes, all 100%, is automated and is digitally covered. So there are sometimes people looking into it, of course, but everything is within the machine. We call it the Fabrik. So
uh-huh.
into our factory, we have a factory approach. So we can offer very good value. So a lot of good tariff features for a very low price.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of the approach, then you get a lot of value at a very low price because, as I said, a liability mm-hmm. insurance should be feasible for everybody.
Mm-hmm,
and due to the digital model, you don't have this hassle, oh, if I buy this insurance, I'll be stuck with this insurance for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We never did this. We started right away from the start. If you want to buy liability insurance for your horse today and you'd feel uncertain tomorrow, you stop it immediately.
Uh-huh.
No hassle. We don't hide the button. There's a big highlighted button saying cancel the policy. So why should uh-huh. I make it difficult
uh-huh.
for somebody to work with our product? If he doesn't like it, I mean, is it like you're in love with somebody, he doesn't love you anymore? Why do you keep him? I mean, why would you force somebody?
Because there are no unlimited apartments for everyone.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good point. You see, so we make it very easy, very transparent.
Mm-hmm. But then on the other way, because it's so easy to go, the clients yeah. stay, I would think.
Exactly.
Right?
Because we're taking the German angst out mm-hmm. of the sales process, basically, is this the right insurance? I'm not sure. And, I better don't do it. And if you go and look at it and say, okay, the liability insurance, I might need it. I'm not so certain, but hey, okay, if it's not the right one for me, I can get out immediately. So you take out the German mm-hmm. angst out of the sales process, which results in now technical term, and you know it, it's the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
You get a better conversion with the customer if you take out hurdles
mm-hmm,
and being tied to an insurance company for a couple of years is, even if it's a year, if you don't like it, go out. You take out this angst and that makes it very feasible. The second thing is you can still call us. So digital doesn't mean that we are not there.
Mm-hmm.
So we have customer service and customer mm-hmm. is first. But the good news is you don't have to call us. Because you can do everything in the application mm-hmm. online. So you can change your address. You can change your bank account. You mm-hmm. can, if you have a fiancé and you want to include that into your liability insurance, you add it.
Oh, I hate all these forms because I know it so vividly from Germany. The last things I needed to do before the immigration to Switzerland, it was so much paperwork and you needed to print things. I don't have a printer at home. I just don't have a printer. And I'm still trying to negotiate with the German Finanzamt for 6 months now because they cannot read the PDFs. And I said, yeah, but guys, sorry, but everyone could read my PDF. So
they don't have a license.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But no, this is super interesting what you're telling me. And it, with regards to maybe the software that you have, did you easily find something or did you need to build it on your own? And is that also part of the company value?
Well, it is. And I have to say, we started with a piece of software that was available on the market, but it wasn't that flexible that how we needed. So we basically have advanced from this basic software set over 95% now. So you can say only the fundamental easy processes are embedded with this software. What we still use it, but we have secured with the supplier of this software piece that everything else is our own intellectual property. Very important.
I know.
Very important, and this is only what I can advise to everybody that starts new and is a founding team. Make sure that whatever you add is your intellectual property, because this could be really, this could be very, very dangerous in a couple of years if you don't. And we did this right away. We have a very good relationship with the company and they have a very, really good product, but it didn't cater our needs and it didn't cater our speed. And so we agreed with the company that we say, okay, guys, we will still use the fundamental aspects of your software, because it is, it's like a car has a steering wheel and four tires. It's fundamental, but everything else, engine, interior, media system is all done by ourselves, because we needed much better adaptation to different markets, to different ecosystems, to different platforms that wasn't, couldn't be supplied. And this, there's no criticism. It is something else. And this is where our core value comes in. We see, okay, you have an aggregator platform like the big ones that are in Germany where many customers buy online insurances. You have brokers, you have broker pools, you have other insurance companies that want to use your product. So you need to cater all these kind of different platforms. And this is where our expertise and our talent comes in.
Okay. Absolutely understandable. So if everyone is listening and also thinking about founding a startup and needs some help or contacts on intellectual property, they might reach out to you and you maybe can give them a contact to your advisory firm, lawyer, or whoever helped you on that.
That's another good point. I know this is common amongst founders and it's easy to make this mistake, but the cheapest advisor is probably not the best advisor.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly. So especially if you are in a regulated environment, I hate to say that, but it's true. Go with the brand names, because the brand names are recognized by the regulators and they know each other. And there is time over money because you get there faster.
Yeah, and because if you get there slower, it costs you more money overall, even if maybe the first half is a little cheaper, but you pay the rest at the end, right? Okay, no, super interesting, because of course we want to add some value for our listeners who might be in the same situation someday as you are. But getting back to the awards, and I hope you will participate this year again.
Of course.
So from your point of view, what is special about the FinTech Germany Award? I mean, I have seen you have won a lot of other awards as well and got recognition. But what is special about the FinTech Germany Award?
First of all, it's a FinTech Award. So it's a bit more broader than a pure InsurTech or pure FinTech Award in the area of banking, because we are all in a financial industry. And this gives us the opportunity in terms of connecting with similar but not same industries.
Mm-hmm.
And I might point it out that if you are in the early stage of your startup, it is so important to network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also so important to network a little bit outside of your plate. So we mm-hmm. have connected to young banks, to other fintech companies that are specialized, or payment companies. And this gives you a broader range of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a startup, you think you can own the world. The problem is you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to partner.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes at you and saying, so we would like to do this in that infrastructure and it's a banking company and could you supply the insurances? And then if somebody else is doing the banking, if you can turn around and say, yeah, we can do insurances and we know this company from the FinTech Awards, they do the banking stuff. They could might help you,
mm-hmm.
you know, brings you in a much better position because you go back and say, yeah, we can handle our part and we can even give you a new partner or an idea mm-hmm. to just talk to them. And this pushes your kind of reputation so much more. And this is why the FinTech mm-hmm. Award, I think, is an industry award. It's not just, you know, the tiny bit, which is good. Specialized awards are good as well. But the FinTech Award gives you a broader range, gives you a wide network. And this is also true, it is a big platform. And we want to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, the award is also about being seen.
True. And what I have also seen from the jury sessions as well, I mean, we have lots of venture capital people as well on the jury. And of course, for every startup, it's an opportunity to be seen by capital as well, not only by potential customers or cooperation partners, but also to be seen by capital, because the situation has not been that good in the last, I would say, 12 months for raising capital.
No, not at all. And even though Germany is a tough market, in terms
even
of,
tougher,
of raising,
yeah, I know.
Raising capital I know. Is extremely, well, difficult, hard in the German market, because we are a very regulated market, and therefore foreign investors are a bit hesitating over mm-hmm. Germany. And especially now, as we are a regulated company, makes it even more complex.
Mm-hmm.
We have these wonderful German terms. You said Haftpflichtversicherung. I tell you another one, that is the Inhaberkontrollverfahren.
Oh, I know that from the banking.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same. So for all the listeners here, what is the Inhaberkontrollverfahren? The Inhaberkontrollverfahren is, if you own more than 10% of a company, you basically are controlled by the regulator about all your income, all your expenditures, all what you do as a person and as a company. You're
yeah.
basically put on the table, and then you do a strip.
But it seems like, because you are still in the position, you have a white vest, which is very good to see.
yeah, of course, but
no, but it's really strict, and this is a special German thing.
Take a U.S. investor.
Yeah, I mean, I just told someone from the banking in Switzerland what this is. And they said, what? Really? You are controlled by a regulator, but you are just the CEO of or the managing director in company XYZ. And I told the person, yes, but in Germany, then you need to have this checklist. You need to have done that. You need to have this education. If you don't have all that, then you need to go through I would say 12 months process with the regulator. You need to attend all these meetings. So that's a typical German thing. And even in Switzerland, and the regulator is doing a very good job here, but there's nothing compared to the Inhaberkontrollverfahren.
That's tough.
Okay, but let's go to the fun topics back again. Or maybe to one of the topics that most of the listeners want to know. So what was one of the most challenging moments for you as a founding partner?
Oh, there are many.
I know, but pick maybe one or two.
Let's pick the first and for us most important one is the initial team. Because as a founder, you are nothing. Really nothing without the matching team. And we started with 21 people.
Wow.
And starting with 21 people, you are responsible for those people because they are going out of their jobs. They're going out of their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take your own personal risk, but at that point, you're taking the risk of 21 people, maybe with 21 families behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And as I explained, as being a regulated company, when we started in 2017 on the 3rd of April, that was our first working day, we didn't have a license because you apply for the license. So we had the license 1 year later. So during this year, everything could have gone wrong.
Mm-hmm, true. Mm-hmm.
So having the honor and the pleasure to work with such fine people for this time, it was a real challenge. And it was, on the other hand, of course, a selling point to the investors because they said, if you can secure this team, we'll trust you that you can go the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically we were two guys in a PowerPoint. And, you know, nothing more. And the vision that we can get these 21 people. And we had from all those people, of course, we had the agreement that they would come. But until the 3rd of April, you don't know. So,
true.
So that was by far the biggest challenge, getting the people.
But interesting that the investor had the perspective. The most important thing is the team as well. So because it's always important to see what do investors value. And in your case, obviously, it was the team. So everyone out there doing a company, get the right team on board. And then I just heard one thing which really impressed me that said, I think it was Branson who said, take care of your team first. And then they will take care of all the rest, including the clients, because a lot of people always say clients first. But Branson said, no, team first, and then they will take care of the rest. So,
yeah, we are based in the Saarland and we are very special. We like our barbecues. We have our beer. We like our parties. And
OK, it seems like this is an invitation.
Yes.
We will come over from the FinTech Germany Award.
You're welcome. You're welcome. No, this is really I cannot emphasize it more that how important team is. And now coming to the second challenge, maybe, because it really fits, is we are now 110 people.
Wow.
And the second challenge, which for everybody is obvious, but I can also just only recommend taking care of it, is the bigger you get, the further away you are from this founding team. But you want to keep the spirit. And I can tell you from experience that week after week that we grow, it is more difficult to keep the spirit.
So how do you do that with 110 people?
You know, in the first 2 years, I've spent very little on the team because we had this wonderful team. And I focused on business and connections and networks and working with this company and that company. Now I spend a really big amount of my time. How can I move the team forward? How can we keep the spirit in the team? What are we going to do? And I haven't said this, but our company was built from the beginning on remote work. So,
okay. Is there regulatory things where let's say the regulator forces you to have all the people in this or that place or?
No.
Okay, no. Interesting. Because of course, I have seen the discussions in Germany from a lot of banks who say, no, it's not possible that people work from somewhere else. And I mean, if you are in sales, okay, then you have solicitation things. And I know that. But if you just have a, let's say, customer service role, or if you are working in the back office or in IT, I don't think that there's any reason.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
In how many different time zones does your team sit? Or are they all in Germany, spread over the country?
They are all in Germany. Mm-hmm. With the time zone thing, we have an issue with the EU regulations, unfortunately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I really wish, and this is, so if I can just shortly start a rant. Yeah. So I'm being angry right now. It is absolutely not understandable to me why it is not possible that within the EU, within mm-hmm. the euro, somebody that has a migration background from Spain mm-hmm. cannot just visit his or her family for 4 weeks in Spain and work out of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
This is not possible because we have a taxation issue. We have
the Sozialversicherungs.
We have a Sozialversicherungs problem. Mm-hmm. We have Erstellen einer ausländischen Betriebsstätte, so founding of a foreign company base. All that it doesn't make any sense. I mean, how great is that? You have a job where you can work. Obviously, you can work from home. So,
we are making the podcast remotely as well.
Yeah. If you know, we're talking now Germany, Switzerland. So you work from home. Where's the difference? Please, somebody tell me. Where's the difference between working from Munich and working from Barcelona? There is no difference. We're in the EU. We have freedom of travel.
Maybe we need to wait for the first lawsuits because I guess there will be some because it's discriminating people to some extent where they live. And yeah, and this is not the idea of the European Union.
You see, we are kind of active in some of communities, also social media communities like sport communities or the van life community. So mm-hmm. why shouldn't somebody who is an Oracle database developer, why shouldn't he or she work out of a van and travel and experience the wonderful Europe? Why should I keep people from doing this when they deliver their work?
I know. And because they bring their happiness and experience into the workplace, I know.
So, we're getting away from the podcast, but I must say this is something I really want to address. And we are part of the Digital Finance Forum founded by the Bundesministerium for Finanzen. Mm-hmm. So we are part of that, of the BMF. And we have articulated that issue. And the answer is it is a European issue and it has to be solved on a European platform. It's not to be solved by Germany. But I just don't understand it.
Yeah, thanks for getting into that. I mean, this is a problem that you're addressing, which many people have, and especially founders have as well. I mean, if you want to attract high potentials today, then you need to be special as well and offer a different workplace. So one other question, are you hiring at the moment? So is there any openings where people can apply?
Because yes, I mean, we are growing very fast. We've been growing tremendously over the last year. I mean, you can imagine with car insurance, even though the majority is fully automated, you still need people. I mean, we scale up via technology, but you need humans to cater for technology. And I can only welcome people taking a look on our website, neodigital.de.
I put it in the show notes.
That's
as
very
well.
Nice, where people can look for jobs and even can apply, spontaneously for jobs, because we will, 100% certain, we will need more people.
Mm-hmm.
To just give you an idea, We started car insurance last year in March. We have now over 100,000 insured car policies out there in 12 months.
Wow, that's crazy. Congratulations.
We are really growing fast, and technology is the solution, but at some point you need people, because we are currently developing telematic products for cars. So your car is connected with your mobile, mm-hmm. the mobile is connected with your policy. Mm-hmm. All this needs development people, but we also need service people. The only thing we don't need is we don't need people that open post, because we don't want to get post.
That's just great. So what is the next milestone at the moment, if you are allowed to talk about that? What do you want to achieve next?
Well, I can just talk about a recent milestone. We have added another investor into our group of investors, another mm-hmm. insurance company, Alte Oldenburger Insurance, mm-hmm. that we now welcome. So this has been good for us, because it gives us more room to develop further. Uh-huh. And the next big step is that we are going to launch car telematic products to the broad customer base, so openly in the market. That's uh-huh. huge, because it has a potential to bring us a lot of new policies, but also a lot of new work. So this is one of the major next things. And if I go a little bit further down the road, 2025, 2026. We are not only insurance company, we are also tech company, and we are going to take over for other insurance companies part mm-hmm. of their value chain in operations and claims. And mm-hmm. that is huge for us, because this is basically where we can bring in all of our talent, our digital ability, and our mm-hmm. technology. And it's used by a major brand, so it gives a lot of traction. And this is
yeah, true.
Big.
That sounds super interesting. So I think that we have a lot of the right ingredients here for welcoming you again on the FinTech Germany Awards. But of course, every competitor is highly invited to try. To compete with you this year.
And competition is so important. But we also like co-opetition. Sometimes you cooperate with your competition. That brings all the good.
I know. This is where things just go. Go crazy sometimes. But and this is what I loved about the spirit that you try to bring across the podcast. You just need to be open-minded to look out for how people operate, what customers want, and then you can also develop very, very cool services and products that really help solve problems. So unfortunately, and I think we could talk some hours more, but for today we have come to an end. And I thank you so much for giving us all the insights into the company, into your business model, and hope to see you again in the awards this year.
Yeah, I just, press the thumbs and hope for it too. And thank you very much. You've been a very kind host.
Thank you so much. And all further information will be found in the show notes. Have a great day, Stephen, and talk to you soon.
Yes. Same to you. Thank you very much.